welcome once again, people. Hope you're okay. Just please remember, why not subscribe? Comments are always welcome. You can also find me on Twitter at Dougie Stone, and my website is dougiestone.com. Remember, you're listening to The Dougie Stone Show. Please share with this group of people. The Dougie Stone Show. Got a cracker for you tonight. Doing well, we're into February now, so yeah, time to get moving forward. Sit back, relax, grab the beverage of your choice.
Well, yeah, I want to bring you, I'm bringing you Stefan Thomas tonight, and I first met Stefan a couple of years ago, and I watched him doing a public speaking gig about networking. And this guy's gone on from strength to strength. He's been on, he's all over the country, and he was in a massive auditorium the other week for Forever Living. He was doing a talk, keynote speak for them, for over 1,000 people. This guy knows what he's talking about, and I'm so pleased that I could come on the show, and I'm really pleased that he said yes. So sit back, relax, enjoy the show, and I'll put some stuff in the show notes for you so you can locate him, but he's worth checking out. So relax, enjoy it. The Dougie Stone Show. Well, good evening, Stefan. Thanks for being on the show. Really appreciate you spending the time.
No, you're welcome. I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Yeah, it's been really good. I've been trying to get you on the show I've mentioned it, mooted the point a few times, but obviously both busy, and this has been a great opportunity this week to get hold of you. And obviously for the listeners, a lot of people do know you, but a lot of people don't know you. You better introduce yourself, haven't you?
A load of people don't know me. And that's absolutely fine. So I'm Stefan. I'm the author of a couple of books. I've written a book called Business Networking for Dummies and a second book called Instant Networking. And most of my life now, I guess, Kirk, is travelling around the UK, talking to people about networking and helping them get better at networking. And that's what I do. People will find me on Facebook and places like that. That's where I tend to hide out. But yeah, I'm out on the road most of the time talking to other people about networking.
Yeah, because it was really interesting, because obviously you run your own network and you'll talk about that in a minute, but we're both members of 4N.
Yeah.
We was at the Area Leaders Conference this week.
Okay.
And there was some really interesting stats.
I mean, I know these statistics because I did these statistics a little while ago. So I've been a member of 4 Networking for coming up for 10 years now. The statistics are that there, I mean, these are 4 or 5 years old. I think there are 4.2 million people in the UK who identify themselves as self-employed. And I think if you look at 4 Networking and BNI and all of the other networking organisations, far less than 1% of those people are going to any sort of formal or informal networking events. And what really interests me is that a lot of the people who don't think they get networking actually get networking, if you don't call it networking, because they get talking to other people. They understand the importance of talking to people about their business. But it's funny that as soon as you put a label on it and call it networking, it almost seems to scare some people off for some reason. Well, I joined networking. I needed business, but actually what I really needed was some structure, because having come out of a job and now running my own business, I'd had to be at work at 9 o'clock in the morning like the rest of us. When you're self-employed, you actually don't have to be, do you? No one's making you do it. And I think one of the things that I liked about networking and having a series of networking events to go to each day or each week is that it gave me something to, a reason to be, to go and do something. It gave me some structure to my afternoon or my daytime or whatever it happened to be. I had to be somewhere at a particular time.
Yeah, that makes sense as well. Yeah, you're right, structure, because normally when you're in a job and people are listening in a job, they've got to be a place of work, the boss wants to do particular things. And it's great being your own boss, but the real danger is you end up becoming ineffective and not doing things. And before I found networking, I was looking also, how do I get my product to market? How do I get my ideas? Where's my route? How do I get into these people? And I tried the old, well, a lot of people do when they first start off, just emailing people on LinkedIn saying, buy my stuff. This is me. I can do this. This is how much I charge. And I was thinking, why is everyone ignoring me? It's bizarre. Everyone's just ignoring me. And you'll probably tell me the reason why that was happening. I know now, but...
It's that thing about, you know, would your approach work on you? And how many sales emails do you ignore every day? And it's, you're not being rude, you're just being busy. And I think a lot of people are in the same position, actually. And for any of us who are out there networking and using LinkedIn and things like that, you get quite a lot of those every day. And you're not being impolite, it's just you couldn't possibly reply to every single one. And it's like... it's like meeting someone in a pub who you've never met before and they immediately start trying to sell something to you. You've got no relationship with them, so why would you buy from them straight away?
Yeah, and that's true. And yeah, I obviously get it. And I think, and that's what I'm trying to get off with this episode, is that there'll be unconscious consumers of networking, as it were, that are frustrated where they are.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to help people in business who are starting a business or are in the business, and I'm saying, well, actually, this, you know, it does work if you do it right. And that's why I've come to you. So obviously some tips and some advice would be great from you, because I've read both of your books. I don't read books, you know that, because I'm dyslexic.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy reading books. I only read books that I really enjoy. And I read both of your books cover to cover. I need to do them again within a few days. So yeah, I know what you're about. So yeah, some tips and some advice would be wonderful.
Yeah, I think what really intrigues me about networking is that if I ask anyone the question why they go to a networking event, most people will say that they're going there because they want to sell more of their stuff. At least that's why you're unusual in that respect. But most people start going to networking events because they want to sell more stuff. It really interests me that then most people don't think or don't translate that to the fact that everyone else in the room is there to sell stuff as well. People don't go to networking events and think, I'm going to sit here and wait until Kirk turns up and then I'm going to buy from him, but I'm going to go to this networking event. There's not a queue of people sat around sort of patiently having breakfast waiting to buy from the next person who goes into the room. And so one of the first things that I got my head around with networking is just get into grips with that. Get into grips with the fact that everyone else is there for the same reason as you.
Yeah.
So if you're selling to them, you're pretty much alienating everyone else in the room because they went there to sell as well. So actually spending time understanding other people, understanding what they need in their business, and just building that relationship, to my mind, gives you far more opportunity when you have got something to offer them, when the time is right for them to buy from you, you have got that opportunity to be in the right place at the right time with them. And that's what I learned very early on. Just like you, my first exposure to for networking was I went in like a bull in a china shop trying to sell to anyone, to everyone. And it took me a little while to work out the fallacy in that approach. But once I did, and actually started just building relationships, then the sales started to come to me, and that's been the case since then. And it's that there's a great video on the internet by a guy called Wes Linden, who you know is a friend of mine, and he does this thing where he throws, he's in a square in London, and he throws some birdseed on the floor. And all of these pigeons come down to eat the birdseed, so he's identified that these pigeons like birdseed. So what he does then, he's got a handful of birdseed, which is exactly what these pigeons want. He goes running after the pigeons with the handful of birdseed, and guess what the pigeons do? They don't all fly towards him to get the birdseed. They all fly away in terror. And that's like how a load of us, and it's a lovely video because it's only about 30 seconds long, but it just makes the point so well.
That is a really good way to view it. And I think I was always nervous when I started networking because I knew a lot of people from the corporate world, but I didn't know, you know, when you want to try and help other, and you talk about passing things on to people and helping other people in the room. And I thought, well, I don't even know anyone to, you know, someone might be an accountant. Well, I don't really know anyone at the moment that needs an accountant. No. And But I've found over the last couple of years that because I do quite a bit of networking now, I know quite a lot of people, and some of those links that I wouldn't have had a bit back have started to pop into place, so that if someone does come along who's fresh or who's, you know, looking for a particular thing, I can go, oh, well, actually, you need to speak to X because they do that and they're really good, and this is where you can find them. Because I always felt a bit of a fraud, because I was going along and people were asking me, what do you need? Who can I link you with? And I'm thinking, oh, I can't link you back. But as soon as you get to that point, you do. And it's amazing when that happens, when you can start offering people what they need. What comes back is, a couple of things have happened to me this week, and I'm like, how has this happened? Where's this come from?
And I think if you approach it in that spirit, so you're absolutely right. At first, you might not have anything to offer everyone in the room. And that's when you've got the opportunity to listen to what everyone else needs. And then you can work out whether you can bring some value to that relationship. And if you're the first person to bring value to every relationship, I promise that stuff will come back, as you're finding now. It's not a one-to-one relationship. It's not that I give something to Kirk and then he's definitely going to give me something back, although I know you would because you're very generous. But, yeah, you know, it's not that if I give something to everyone in the room, everyone's going to give something back. It's more that if I give enough stuff out, enough stuff's going to come back to me. It might come back from that person in the room. It might come back from somewhere else. But it honestly does reciprocate like that. People feel obliged to give something back if you give something to them. And you've already recounted a couple of stories to me today before we were recording about, you know, how people are watching what you do. People are watching how you bring value to an event. And now they want you to bring that same value to their event. And it's, you know, you've put it out there. People can see how you're bringing value. Now that's coming flowing back to you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was blown away by that, because it's not something I was... It's something that I want to do, and I do want to be more out there in the visual space and video and things. And so for someone to come and I even ask for it and say, I really like what you're doing, I've been watching you, it's really interesting, you will help my event if you come and do that. Will you come and do that for me? So it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. It really is. Really good. Really good.
And it does happen like that. And the more value that I put out there, the more stuff comes flowing back to me. I'm in this really bizarre position now that one of the ways that I put value out is by writing articles and doing videos and that sort of thing, and giving people free advice about networking. And as a result of giving free advice, people then pay me for the advice on networking, whether they ask me to work with them, whether they buy my books and stuff like that. And that comes as a result of not trying to flog them books, but as a result of putting free information out there that's useful to them, putting value out there, which then results in people buying from me. But I don't put the value out there with the expectation that everyone will buy from me. And I think that's really important as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I'm quite selfless in what I do as well. And some people might give a lot of stuff. I had a good friend of ours, Con. I've been doing lots of things, as you know, and I try to encourage and help people. And he gave me an amazing offer the other week, and I was blown away by the offer. And he said, no, you give that much away, you're doing that much stuff. I think you need this, my expertise, and I am going to do this for you. And I'm like, what? Why are you going to do that for me? And I'll do it the other way. And it's going back to your pigeon analogy with Wes. Is because, and this is what we're talking about now, is he throws the seeds down, the birds like the seed, and instead of running after them with his handful of seeds, if he then have opened his hand up, shown him what he had to offer, then the birds, pigeons, eventually would get confident in him that he's not going to harm them and come and take the food from his hand. And
absolutely so.
And I think that's... I only just thought about that when you gave me the thing before, but I think that's what's happening, and what happens in the know, like, and trust. That's what needs to be built, know, like, and trust within the networking events, really.
It is. And depending on which flavour of networking you go to, people either talk about know, like, trust or meet, like, no trust. But it's the same process, just to explain to your listeners. What we talk about with meet, like, no trust is just that process when you meet someone, they decide whether they like you, they get to know you a bit better, and eventually you get to that stage where they trust you enough to either buy what you're offering or to refer that or to refer you onto other people. They trust you enough to pass you on to their clients. And I think it's perfectly possible to speed up that process whereby someone likes you and trusts you. It's perfectly possible to do that, but it takes effort. And I think an opportunity is that most people don't bother to put the effort in. They expect the stuff to come to them. But also, you have to let some relationships develop at a pace which suits them. You can't always force that relationship to happen in the order in which you want it to happen. You have to understand that everyone else has got their own agenda as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, because when I first started, I mean, because I go to one networking, it's Four Network, but that's not, I've tried other ones and I've been to other ones, and I'm not knocking any other networking groups. You know, I go to another couple that I know who are friends of mine. I run them, they're now friends of mine. But, you know, I've stuck with one predominantly, and then I've got a couple of others that I go to, and they're all different. People fit into the different ones for different reasons, don't they? You know, some are more structured and it's more corporate, and you know, some people really enjoy that environment, and whereas some of those are more relaxed, and then others are totally relaxed where there's virtually no structure. So people sort of need to find their own particular one that they like, don't they?
Yes, that's right. I think it's you know, I am a member of Four Networking. I was on the Four Networking team for a very long time. I'm a member of Four Networking these days. I'm also very happy to go along to BNI events and other structured networking events as well. And it is absolutely right. I advise people when they start networking to go along to a few. And if you're going to be putting significant effort in there, if you're going to be spending a lot of time with at that event and with the people, go along a couple of times and work out whether you like it or not. Because if you simply don't like it, if you simply don't enjoy being there, then that's no way to start your day off, really. So go along to a few networking events and find out what suits you. And when I talk about that's no way to start your day, of course, there are lunchtime events. There are, famously in your neck of the woods, evening events as well. So it's possible to find a style of networking at a time of day which suits you also.
Yeah, most sure. I mean, because I think we're missing a trick in some of the networking, and I'm just looking at something at the minute, trying to encourage some trade people to start doing a bit more networking, because, and I know they're normally busy and they're doing things, but a lot of people need trades, and you know, there's lots of cowboys out there, apart from spaghetti agency Todd, like, but you know, I mean, real cowboys that are going to rip you off, and I think it'd be great if we could encourage a few of the trades people to come in, but I'm presuming they're put off by, you know, potentially the time of day, so they could go to an evening event. But I think they might be put off because they think it's a lot of blokes sat round in suits and all talking with a plum in the mouth type of thing.
I think it's more fundamental than that in a lot of cases. I think a lot of them are owner drivers. You know, they own the business, but they're the person who does all of the work in the business. So, you know, a lot of the tradespeople I know are really, really busy guys with businesses that you know, absolutely humble me with their turnover and so on. But I think that's one of the issues with tradespeople, that they're very often owner drivers. So even with the evening events, they're at home doing invoicing and quotes and that sort of thing. Like I say, I know a lot of tradespeople. I think that was my first experience as well. And when I first started going networking, it was a load of blokes in suits, and I was wearing a suit, but I did feel a little bit intimidated by that. I do think that a lot of networking is much more relaxed than it was 10 years ago. It doesn't look like, for want of a better expression, an old boys club anymore with most of them.
No, I agree, because I've been to some of those four, BNI and all the rest of it, and even there I go dressed as I normally dress, and not everyone's in a suit, and there's various people. So, yeah, I think it's a big misconception potentially for people that have never been.
Yes.
And it does intrigue me when people do say that they don't get the benefit of it. I find it really intriguing. So you've actually gone away. You've obviously moved from, you're still in Four Network, but you moved from being one of the directors, one of the senior team there. So you have your own stuff now, don't you? Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, go for it. I'm very happy to self.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So I'm based in Oxfordshire. I run my own networking events in Oxfordshire, but I think the sort of flagship event which I'm becoming more and more associated with is my event called the Networking Retreat, which is effectively 24 hours training on networking skills. And I run that. I run it in Oxfordshire, but I have people coming from all over the UK. Next one I'm running is in March, and I've got people coming from Manchester, Fife in Scotland, London, the far south coast, and et cetera, et cetera. And what I love to do is get people in a hotel for 24 hours and pick their networking style apart and put it back together so when they go back out there, they're actually making a load of sales through networking. And it's really, really good fun. So I run my own networking events in Oxfordshire, which I enjoy, and I run this thing called the Networking Retreat, which people can come along to and spend 24 hours with us. And that's what I really enjoy, because that's when I see people getting real, real results out of the stuff that I teach them. So that's, yeah, in a nutshell, as well as the books, that's my stuff, and that's what I do.
Yeah, and it keeps you busy. And I know obviously a lot of people that have took the opportunity and come on your network retreat. Yeah. And there was one, I'm not even going to mention names because that's unfair to the person, but there's one lady that we know, and I knew the week after when she got up and she started talking, and a different thought, I said, "Well, I said, what's happened to you?" She's like, "I've been on the networking retreat." I thought, yes, I could tell. I can tell by your confidence. I can tell you why you... I actually was sat there going, oh, actually, her service could be quite interesting, could be quite... Whereas before, it might have just gone straight over my head and, you know, ignored it. It was like, actually, I'm starting to believe in what you're doing, and I'm starting understanding what you're doing. Actually, yeah, I think there could be a benefit. So I have seen the result of the people coming to you, and you can definitely tell when they've been and been involved with you, because they have a different way of dealing with it and dealing with the networking events.
And I think, and that's really brilliant to hear, and I think the confidence comes from the fact that they know what they're doing now. Because when you join a networking group, typically there's no instruction book. And whilst I don't write an instruction book, because that would be sort of one size fits all, what I do is work out a set of instructions for each individual person, so that they know now how they're going to approach the event, but more importantly, what they're going to do after and in between the events, how they're going to keep in touch with people, for example. So I sort of give people a template as to how they can work both at the event and after the event. And it is as simple as that. I mean, it's nothing more complicated than that, but then their confidence comes from literally knowing what they're doing, whereas often when we start networking, we don't know what they're doing because there's no set of instructions, really.
Yeah, because we're learning. No one's, you know, it's not a, yeah, there's not a, you know, here we go, get, there's a piece of paper, follow that and you'll be okay. Because I think you mentioned something then which I think is quite important, is I think also, and I think I was guilty at the first. I thought, well, I go to the networking group, I've met all these people, great, and I'll go in the next couple of weeks, great. Well, nothing's sort of really happening. And I think where the benefit really starts to happen, and it has done for me, I've gone, well, actually, I've met this person, really like them, and actually, I email everyone now when I've been to the event saying, really good time, thanks very much, and or whatever we discuss. And then what I tend to do is one or two people will go, actually, we need to get together. Can we go and have a coffee? And we go and have a couple of hours somewhere. And I think that is where some of the key benefits start, because it's not just in that room. A lot of people, I believe, where it doesn't work for them, are just trying to work the room.
Yeah, they are. And that's, I think I very often get people like, do you know what? I don't like that expression at all, work in the room, because that sort of, it suggests to me that people do just think that what they need to do is go around the room until they find the person who wants to buy from them. It's a sort of networking pass the parcel or something like that, isn't
yeah.
it?
And
it, yeah. I'm having that one. I just made that one up right then. But I'm going to write something about that in a minute. But it is that. I don't like that expression, work in the room. I tell you why I don't like it, Kirk. It sounds as if it means that the person who says it thinks they're the most important person in the room.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
completely different to how I approach the room. And that that sounds really sort of up myself, but it's absolutely true. If you think that you need to work the room and make an impression on everyone else, then you're making yourself the centre of the universe, and that's not how I like to be.
No, I agree with that. And I think what I meant, I did mean that, but what I meant was that people think that they only have to be present in that space and everything's going to come to them from being in that room. That's what I meant by that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people misunderstand it and think, well, actually, if I'm in this room now and I'm coming every 2 weeks, it's just going to start flowing to me. And it doesn't work like that, does it?
No, it doesn't.
You've got to it's like everything, you've got to work on it. And things that you might have done or spoke to someone 12 months ago, and then they contact you and go, actually, can we talk about this thing? And you think, hang on a minute, that was like over a year when I spoke to you about that. And you still want me to... It takes time, doesn't it? And a lot of people, I see a lot of people going to loads and loads of meetings, like in a condensing it to try and condense that time from getting from one place to another. And they get frustrated with it and go, this is not working. I'm putting all this effort in, but they're only dropping seeds at that moment in time. They've got to wait for a few months before they start sprouting. And I think that's where a lot of people get disheartened with it quite quickly.
Yeah, they do. And I think... something else that happens, which I try and explain to people, and that's this, that at the end of the networking event, you might have had a fantastic time and made some brilliant connections, but at the end of the networking event, you switch your phone back on, and you've got a couple of missed calls from a client because something hasn't arrived. You know, you've got a text from someone that you've got to deal with. You realise that you only left yourself half an hour to get to your next appointment, and it's a 40-minute drive. And you had those brilliant conversations, but they start to slip down your list of priorities, and it's almost like you'll forget those conversations. And yet we know that about ourselves, but we think that magically everyone else in the room is going to remember us. And not enough people put in the effort to actually remind everyone else in the room that they exist in between the meetings, in a way that suits them. Everyone else in the world in 2017 is as busy as you, and we all know that we're going to get distracted when we leave, but we think everyone else is going to remember us, and it just don't work like that.
No, it definitely doesn't, because, you know, I've come away today and I've done a couple of interviews today. I've had to collect some things. I've had to do something. It's been non-stop since I finished my networking meeting at 11 o'clock this morning.
Yes.
But the way I remember it is I always keep... I've got the three business cards in front of me that are people I've met today. The next to my computer, until I've dealt with them, they will stay there, and I'll try and keep that conversation going as it was with an individual. And if I've not linked up with them, I'll go on to... You advise all this as well. Go on to other platforms, link up with them on their social media, and just keep that conversation going so that you're in the mind then, aren't you, when you're doing things?
Yeah, and just in a little way, you know, when was the last time I saw you? Probably before Christmas, maybe even November. I've not been networking in your part of the world for a couple of months now. And yet we've kept gently in touch on social media. So it was no surprise to me when you gently reminded me the other day and sent me a message saying, so just for your listeners, I've just had an operation 2 weeks ago, so I'm literally stuck at home at the moment. And you sent me a message saying, listen, mate, whilst you're stuck at home, why don't we do this podcast that I've mentioned to you a couple of times? And it wasn't, you weren't actually selling me anything as such, but it wasn't that came out of the blue. I think on Facebook, we'd been having a conversation about something else. You know, you had been in my timeline, you'd been in my circle. Yeah. So that conversation was quite effortless. Whereas if I hadn't seen you for 2 months and we hadn't had any contact for 2 months, I might have thought, who's this guy? But because you put the effort in to keep the relationship going, it was no, there was no effort in having that easy conversation with you about doing this afternoon.
Yeah, and true. And I only met you a couple of years ago at TBNS when you were speaking. And that time you was like someone that I didn't know. You removed someone that I wanted to get to know. And if I'd come up to you that day and says, oh, I'll buy your book, as an example, and I'm doing a podcast, you want to be on it, you'd be like, who's this guy? You might have said yes, but there's a fair chance you'd have gone, well, I'm gonna have to work out who you are first. You might be, you know, you might not be what I want to be on. But now, and I think that's what I'm trying to get out with the whole thing, it's that long-term relationship building. As I class you as a friend and can talk to you and can communicate with you, where I couldn't have done that 12-18 months ago, because we didn't have that interconnection. We hadn't sussed each other out by then. And I think that's what I'm trying to get from this. I think it's not just about business. It's not just about making more money. I think the personal connections that you make, that people will help you out. And I know you've contacted me a couple of times when I had some issues. And that's like mind-blowing because, you know, do you know what I'm saying? I think it's because it's not just about cash. It's about the whole rounded thing. It's almost you become, it's a network, and it's a true network of people, of individuals, of services, of whatever you need. I think it's there, and that's what I'm trying to get over from today.
Yeah, and that's it. And it's a couple of things, you know, and neither of these are my expressions and I won't claim them. People say that you build the network when you don't need it so that it's there when you do. So that you've spent time building that relationship with me. And when there's a little ask, like, will I be a guest on the podcast, which I'm really flattered to be invited as it goes. Yep. But when there's a little ask, that's very easy. I'm going to refer to Wes Linden again, who I referred to earlier on in the conversation. And Wes says, talks about building friendships just for the sake of building friendships. And if you do that and don't expect, you don't go in there with an agenda that I'm going to build this friendship because I want this guy to buy off me. If you don't go in there with that an agenda, then the relationship is far more natural, and bizarrely, you end up selling more as a result.
It's cool. It's cool. Well, we're coming right to the end of the of the podcast. It's amazing that half an hour gone. I'll do something with that. But where can people find you, Stefan? What's the best way to get hold of you?
Best place to find me these days, if they go onto Facebook and search for The Networking Retreat, they will find my Facebook group. Very welcome to search for me by name, Stefan Thomas, but if they go on and search The Networking Retreat, they'll find my Facebook group where I put a load of free information out about networking.
Cool. It's wonderful. Well, I really, really appreciate you coming on the show today, Stefan. I hope you wish you a speedy recovery.
Thank you.
I'm hoping to be sat across the table at some point sharing a breakfast with you.
It'll happen very soon, mate. Thank you for that.
Well, that's another show over again. Big shout out to Stefan. Thanks for being on the show, Stefan. Get well soon, buddy. Seriously, go and check him out, check his books. I've got both of them, read them, and really helped me along in my journey. Don't forget, you've been listening to please subscribe and share it with people you know. It's all about helping people here. I'm trying to inspire and raise awareness of dyslexia, so keep checking me out, and I keep bringing you stuff every week. Whatever you're doing, stay safe, people. Enjoy yourselves, and see you at the same time next week. Oh, yeah. See ya.